Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by
these knobs.
Tony Dudzik, Pick Guardian.
Billy Spitfire Unlimited.
Hey everybody, this is me, Todd Novak. Welcome to the Guitar Knobs podcast. We are thrilled to death you are listening to our show. This delightful ditty that we get to interview builders, makers, shakers, and breakers of guitar gear. I just made that up. You can put it on a bumper sticker if you want. We have a very special return guest. I love getting return guests.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Return guest, who are you?
Johnny from Daredevil Pedals. Great to be back, Todd.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. That was very Chicago sounding of you. I like that.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we have Johnny out there in Chicago from the famed Daredevil Pedals. I know many of you have his pedals on your board and are really loving them. So we've got a very special pedal in front of us. That's a new release called Aces, and we're going to talk all about that and find out what else Johnny's up to these days. We've got a couple of announcements real quick. Not to that's right. We don't want to thank Rode Mics for providing this awesome audio equipment. We are mucho grateful for that. Aside from that, like honestly, let's go. That's it. All right.
Let's do
it. Let's find out what's going on in our music world this week. We're just blazing through here. Tanya Bolanski is going to lead us off, and then we're going to check in with Johnny.
Well, you know, Todd.
I do. Very well. Thank you.
He's very nice.
He is. Handsome, too.
Well, gosh. I don't know if I'd go quite that far. If you remember, maybe a few days ago, you sent out a meme about British amps and guitars.
Yes.
And on the amps side, there's a very detailed drawing of the hind end of a horse. And then on the guitar's side, it's kind of a stick figure of a horse.
Yes.
So I said...
A badly drawn
child's drawing of the front of a horse. And I said, you know, come on. British guitars aren't that bad. And then I started trying to just go through a list of possible things, and I spent some time in my going through my music books and then going through, you know, what's on the internet and things like that, and I think that is a factual meme. I mean, I don't quite understand how a country like the UK can put out Marshall, Vox,
they did the same thing with cars too. I mean, cars is like you know, their cars have not been known to stand the test of time.
Oh, but they had some cool guys.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, think of like, you know, the Burns Bisons and stuff. Those are cool looking. As long as you don't look at the headstock, everything's gravy.
Well, that's what I was saying. So that was going to, I went back in time and I found some information. And basically back in the days, like in the 50s, there were companies like Grimshaw, which is one of the few UK builders. And then in the 60s, you had Burns and Vox. And then there's the UK-made Voxes that are actually pretty good. And but then they got into this Italian era, and the build quality went way, way down. And so I have to be in total agreement. Even today, there's only a handful of manufacturers, and most of those manufacturers are importing from, you know, from China, from Indonesia, things like that. Mm-hmm. There was a company that a few years ago called Gordon Smith, and they had some pretty cool things, but again, they were still kind of primitive. They had an aluminum nut. It was not what I would call a top grade instrument. And there's some acoustic manufacturers now that are coming out, but by and large, I don't understand it, but you know, the UK makes some incredible amplifiers, had incredible amplifiers in the 60s and the 70s. Even the stuff they're putting out today is pretty darn good.
High Watt, too.
Oh, High Watt, Orange.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a Sound City.
Sound City.
Forgot about that one. But in terms of guitars, they're either primitive, unattractive, or just poorly made. Some of the ones, I mean, I've had some of the Italian Voxes over the years, and I just scratch my head sometimes because they're just not put together well. Mm. So
indeed.
So thanks for sending the meme and making me waste hours looking through books.
You bet. Johnny, what's going on in your music world this week?
You know, I've been working on some kind of secret things, which has kept me busier than usual. Fortunately, I can't really talk about it, but just know that there's like really, really cool stuff going on.
I'm sure.
It just takes a while for these things and these people I work with to kind of run the course and be released to the world and all that stuff. So
are you still playing are you still doing your Evictions band?
Yeah. Yeah. Evictions is still chugging along. I mean, you know, we played some outdoor stuff this summer, still doing our, you know, weekly ear ringing, practice, just, you know, all usual stuff. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I just keep spinning different plates to make sure that I never really rest enough and just drink coffee all day and go from one thing to another. And, you know, yeah, everything's been good. You know, I got the Aces done back in, like, you know, springtime. And I usually come up with something and then I just rush to put it out right away. And then that pisses off all my dealers. And, you know, I'm like never fully prepared. So for this one, I was like, all right, let's actually like take some time and set it up right and get all the videos done properly, you know, like really,
yeah,
like what you would expect someone that's been doing this for this long to do. So then, you know, I just said, all right, well, we'll do September 1st. And, you know, it made it easier, obviously. So that was done a while ago. And I have another pedal that I finished back in, like, you know, end of the winter, early spring as well, that I'm still sitting on, that I hope to get out before, you know, like Black Friday, Christmas type stuff.
Nice.
And that'll be more vintagey. It's a fuzz. So,
wait, what?
Yeah. Surprise. Right. I kind of realized that I used to have a ton of fuzzes, and then I kind of weaned a few out and put out different things. And then I got to the point where I was like, man, I only have like two. I should really figure out what I like my ultimate dream would be for a fuzz.
Nice.
And make that happen. So I worked on it for a long time. It's close to being, you know, I get so OCD on it, but it's about 99% there. And then I'm just waiting on the enclosures, cause I'm getting different enclosures made than the typical box stuff that everybody has. So, yeah, it's going to be like super old school wedge style 60s, 70s fuzz. Yeah.
Right.
So
on, man.
Super excited. But that, you know, again, like some of these things, they just take so long to get. Anytime you're dealing with other people and like supply chain stuff and all that, it's like just this endless thing. I'm so used to just kind of doing things on my own terms that I can just bang stuff out right away and, you know, I don't have to worry about it too much.
Sure.
It's just as fast as I can do it, it can get done. But that's not always the case. So, you know, all in good time, I guess. But yeah, those things, and then, you know, usual keeping things built and in stores and all the other cool stuff. So
yeah. Right on, man. You gotta keep those pedals out there. And for those who don't maybe know all about Daredevil, first of all, if you like guitar and you like to hear your guitars roar, Daredevil's a great place to start to help that happen. Make sure you get over to the website daredevilpedals.com and check those out whilst and at the same time you're listening to this show. Billy.
What's going on in the music world? Well, I'm trying to beat a Red Bull habit.
Uh-oh.
And so I might be a little cranky tonight. Uh-huh. I'm on day one of going without a Red Bull.
Why'd you choose tonight to do that?
Yesterday.
Cripes.
Yesterday was a double Red Bull day. And yesterday, so I was up late testing pedals and messing around with my 85 Gibson Explorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Methmatic sticker on it now.
Awesome.
It's looking cool. And I put a knob. It's got a single knob, but it's down there by the Kaler vibrato. So I kept bumping it whenever I'd go for the tremolo arm. And so I just finally just put a smaller metal button on there.
There you go.
And I got one that has a black and white yin yang. So it's looking spiffy.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm excited.
Right on. Excellent. Well, let's see here.
What about you, Todd?
Well, thanks, Tony.
What have you been
there
up
was
to,
lots
Tony?
Of stuff, and I thought about it, and I was like, what? It was sounded interesting. And actually, last night, I had caught a post that one of our pals, Drew Foppy, put out. He's the guitar tech for bands such as Smashing Pumpkins, Deftones, Shinedown, etc. And he's out there, and what's really cool is he shares a lot of like pro tips, you know, and that could be either for techs or for players or whatever. And this one hit me right in the forehead because I had actually been experiencing, I was like, man, my locks are just, why are my locks so stiff? My strap locks. And he said, hey, this is a mechanism. You need to keep it oiled or else it won't lock and your guitar will just fall right out of it. So I immediately rushed to my garage to pick out the...
WD-40!
No.
No?
3-in-1. Oh. WD-40 will just kind of...
I thought you were
going to
say trombone valve oil.
No, ooh, but that would probably work really well. Yeah, for sure.
That stuff does magic for a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll take
blaster.
Your word for it.
Yeah. We could have blaster. A whole show about that stuff. Yeah.
Would you say blaster?
Blaster.
Blaster. What's a, is that a, is that an oil?
It's like everything loosener. You know.
It's like a penetrating oil. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So any of those 3-in-1 is what Drew is using. I said, I've got 3-in-1. So I got it. And I went and just immediately did all of my, I've got the shallow strap locks. And so I just pulled the pin, dropped it in, you know, get it all lubed up and everything. And I was like, hey, right on.
Wow.
Now I don't have to worry about that. So thank you, Drew, for sharing that. That's a brilliant idea.
You know what blaster is also good for?
No.
Everything.
Plaster?
It's really good for everything, but...
Hangovers.
No, you don't. Do not use it for a hangover.
Put it on your tacos.
Do not put it on your tacos. No, 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 and more no. If you've got like old Cluzon tuners...
Yes.
If you just let them soak for... a day in this blaster solution, all the gunk and the dirt
really?
And the grime and stuff just comes out. I did that on my Super 300. It was a 1948.
Yeah.
And I took obviously you've got to take the machines off and just put them in a little container with a lid because the stuff stinks really bad.
Yeah. It smells
terrible.
Do they
stay lubricated then? Or does it?
Yeah, because it's
okay,
got...
So there's no drying agent in there?
No, it's a penetrating oil that goes in, cleans the stuff up, but then it leaves a oil residue behind. And you can, if you really want to, you can put a couple of drops of 3-in-1 or valve oil. Trombone valve oil in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like rusty saddles, you know, like those hex screws and stuff get all like fused together. Yeah, drop them in a jar.
Yeah, no, that's my great aunt's stage name. She was a burlesque dancer. Hey.
Rusty saddles. Oh, wow. Hi-o.
Okay. Anyways. All right. So. We learned a few things. So, and Tony, when would someone want to say, oh, I should take off my tuners and put them in there?
Well, I mean, if they're kind of sticky, if they just, you know, like feel like they're grinding, chances are that it's got some dirt built, and if they're really old too, that's another way. So I always do that.
If your guitar's going out of, if you feel like your guitar keeps going out of tune, could that be a thing?
I mean, tuners get blamed for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, at least 80% of the time, the tuning thing is usually due to the nut, not the tuning machines.
Oh, okay.
But if you want a nice smooth tuner, And before you go out and spend money on, you know, buying a set of new machines.
That's interesting you said that, because I have a Graco. You know, it was in, from the 80s. Is it Graco or Greco?
Greco.
Greco?
It's okay.
You can call it whatever you want.
Greco's where the pets go. No, wait, that's different.
No, they make insurance.
Let's find out, Siri.
No, Graco is they make
what does Siri say?
Kid stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Pronouncenames.com.
What are you doing? You it's Greco. Johnny, what is it? Greco, right?
Okay. For the guitars?
Yeah.
Yeah, Greco. Greco, Bernie, Tokai.
Greco.
This stuff's great.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Okay. So anyway, I had tuners that were, some were sloppy, some were loose, some were tight, some were grindy.
The grindy ones. Now, if they're loose, nine times out of ten, if they're Cluzon style, there's ways to fix them, but.
So they were Grovers, and I went out and bought another used set of Grovers.
Yeah.
Because new ones are like $100 now. They're
And they're not made in the USA anymore.
Well, you're not buying Red Bull anymore, so you can buy yourself
buy it one tuner at a time.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Cool. That's very helpful.
But you could try
stuff.
That. I mean, generally speaking, it works best on like Cluzon style tuners or open gear tuners.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The sealed tuners, it really can't get inside there. It'll clean them up a little bit.
Okay.
But there you go.
All right.
Spend $4 and get a bottle or a can of Blaster.
Yeah.
Blaster.
All right. So that was delightful. Let's move on to something else, shall we? Tony.
Yes, Todd.
This just in. If you go to tourgeardesigns.com.
What?
Yes. If you go to tourgeardesigns.com.
What?
And order a bunch of their amazing patch cables that they make
and
themselves.
They're flat.
In all the different lengths you can imagine, in all the different configurations that you can imagine, to get you the pedal board of your dreams put together.
And it doesn't look like a mess of spaghetti.
Yeah.
Right. And without breaking the bank, you can go to tourgeardesigns.com.
And wait a second. I'm going to up the ante.
Uh-huh.
If you go to the checkout section of said tourgeardesigns.com,
uh-huh,
type in the guitar knobs. You know what?
You're going to save 10% off?
An extra 10% off an already outrageously low-priced item.
That is correct. And I actually just got some more delivered that I'm going to be giving out to our future patrons and stuff. That's a new thing that we've been giving out to everybody. Yeah,
I just opened it up today.
Yeah.
Nice.
So anyways, thank you to Tour Gear for sponsoring our Four on the Floor.
Let me get a little bit of this.
That is garbage.
One, two, three. Four on the Floor.
All right. Johnny, you ready?
Yeah. I even have to, like, I have to go look.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you can go grab a couple real quick.
Because it's all, this board's just sitting over here. And I went, like, full OCD on this thing for a while. Because I was, like, you know how it, like, it starts with like one piece of gear and then it throws everything else off. So then have to, like, you know, so it's like, I went on a, like a Fender amp bender back in the spring, you know? And then that changed like what fuzzes sound good and this whole thing. So,
Ooh,
and then I got a ton of wahs. So then I haven't used a wah in years and years. So then I had to go through and play like, you know, 10 different wahs and figure out which one worked with everything else. It was a whole, you know, OCD spiral thing. So anyways, let's see. One, two, three. So I can do four. I started with a delay, you know, because I haven't used a delay in a long time either. But I got a bunch of delays and I ended up right now with one. It's not that rare, but it's like the Bell Epoch, just a gray tape echo, Catalan Bread.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. And that's at the end of my path. And then
now just real quick, you know, that pedal's been around for, you know, several years.
Yeah, a long time.
You've heard about it. Like, I've probably almost bought that pedal at least four times. I haven't yet. I know I will at some point. What was the thing that made you do that finally?
You know what? I owned one years ago and I sold it because I just wasn't into delay at the time. And then I got another one in, I think it was like a trade, like someone I end up in all these weird things because I build pedals, you know, so every once in a while I end up with stuff and I kind of forget how I got it, but it's usually like something we worked out a deal with somebody and I got a box of stuff or whatever. So I think I ended up with like a box of pedals from somebody for something like a repair I did or whatever. I don't know, but this was in there and, you know, I have probably four or five other pretty standard, you know, like carbon copy, you know, I got my own delay and all that. And I just had a shootout with that. I don't know. There's just something cool and just really vintagey and kind of out of control with that. Not that I use it a lot, but
yeah. Cool,
I also
cool art too, you know.
Yeah, and you know I've had like a DD3 forever because I mean it's just kind of like the old standard, you know. It's like the Dave Navarro delay, so whatever. But that's on there for now. And then where it gets cool is I started messing around with old original, like, you know, Fuzzrite stuff. And I built a ton of like versions of that. And then I ended up with the real cool fuzz, obviously like 10 years ago. And that's kind of, that was kind of born out of that whole thing too. But then I went like old school, like purist on this. And I started like reading up on everything. And I really wanted to like get the essence of like those original old ones. And then I had all these wedge enclosures that some guy made me, like out of folded aluminum. So I built like an OG Fuzzrite and like tracked down proper transistors and all that stuff. So that's on there now. And then I have another folded steel enclosure that someone made me that I built. I think it's an MK2 Sola, but it might be Marshall Supafuzz. I forget which one I stuffed in there. That's another, so I have two fuzzes that I built myself, but I've had that one for a long time. I used that on my first Evictions album probably like 6 years ago. So I know that's been around. So those are the two fuzzes. Cause for, you know, what I got a Fender silver face that they just sound great, you know, with that clean Fender kind of thing. And then I don't know what this Y is. Oh, this is the old Clyde that's available now from Crybaby.
Oh yeah. Cool.
It's just the standard Clyde McCoy. So there's no buffers or anything. I don't even know this one. Oh, this does have a DC. I know some of them don't even have like a DC plug, but, yeah, that's what this is. And, if I can go for five, I have a whirlwind face at the front too, but I know that's pushing it. So I use different phases for different applications, even though they're like supposedly the same, you know, like Whirlwind is the guy that supposedly got involved in like the beginning, early days of MXR.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's supposedly a Phase 90, but it has a different thing to it. So
cool.
You use that, but I always stick it in front of all my other effects so that it's
you
not
stick
like
the phase
too,
in front.
Yeah. I put, if it's true bypass, I stick it in front of everything because then it doesn't get all like too phased out from hitting it with fuzz and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, so it's like you turn it on.
The fuzz affects the phase.
Well, it's like some stuff, you know, like you put it after all that, and then it's like there's so much gain slamming into the phase that it's just all you hear is just this big swooshy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like overpowering. You're like, all right, cool. I want to hear what you're playing instead of just like, you know, like.
Yeah, that's always been my complaint with especially those one button, you know, like an MXR phaser. It's like, it's just on.
Yes, right. It is on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, there's no right. There's no so level or blend or anything is what
yeah,
I'm saying.
The blend, yeah, the blend control is very helpful on a pedal. Like
and that. I think the reason that I had the Whirlwind is because it's actually true bypass and I could stick it in front of my fuzzes without the fuzzes sounding different.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the MXR Phase 90, it says, you know, true hardwire, you know, that whole wormhole of what does it actually mean kind of thing. But it's still like there's a little bit of a signal that goes through there when you bypass it. So
yeah,
that was that. And then, you know, my favorite one was the old non-LED small stone. But really? Those totally suck your tone. So I think even the one I have is a vintage one, but I went and just opened it up and like stuffed a another switch in there and just true bypass it from the jacks, mm-hmm. and too lazy to like rewire the whole thing. So I just left the other jack inside and just ran the input jacks to a switch.
Clever.
Which worked. And then I could stick it in front of other fuzzes and whatever. So I don't know. We're getting off on a tangent, but these are the things that I do when I'm not working. So.
You mentioned messing around with a bunch of different wahs and stuff. And, I don't know if you've ever tried the...
If only you knew. If only I could tell you what's been going on, man.
When you try, how many pedals are we talking about in your search for the great wah?
I wish I could tell you guys what's been going on. I don't know how many I have, but I have a lot.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of building wahs and stuff on my own for probably at least 5 or 6 years. You know, just gutting them and doing that. Not available really for on the website or anything like that. But that was kind of like my first Daredevil foray a million years ago was ripping up, wah pedals. So,
well, you do have the cocked wah, which is.
Yeah, that's kind of that was the start of all that.
Yeah.
Atomic
cock.
Yep. It's and now it's even the atomic cocked.
I saw that
because I just there was so many like dad jokes and just it was like all right I got to the point where something like started to bug me about it.
Yeah,
because I mean it is a little. I never made any jokes about it or anything. I just said, well,
you didn't have to. It's sitting on the pedal,
right? It is what it is. But I never tried to really hey. He said ass or, whatever. I'm like, I didn't have any of that. But other people would. Other people would always like just dad joke about it. And I would get to the point where I'm like, well, this just seems kind of, it's a little annoying now. And I could see where somebody could be like, not get it and be offended, as stupid as that sounds.
Yeah.
In like the realm of rock and roll and like, well, this is what it does. If you don't get that, then you're just a, angry person, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just like, I don't need more headaches in my life. So
yeah,
changed it. And then now it makes sense because there's the Cocked and Fearless, which is that. And so now it's like, oh, well the names all make sense. So maybe people will get it, but
yeah, those are great pedals, by the way. If you are wah adverse in the sense of having a large pedal, trying to control it or anything like that, or worrying about tone suck or blah, 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 blah. Either of those are really great solutions to give yourself just like a really cool dip in tone, on the fly. And speaking of the wah, I think I haven't gone to the lengths that you have, but one that I found that I really did like was the Dr. No Guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's got the three different setting, so no matter what guitar or amp you're playing with, like you'll get something good out of it. And
I'd hope so for like $400, man.
Yes. not cheap.
Cool, very cool looking.
Yeah
for anyways, sure.
Well, thanks for sharing your four on the floor again. That's numero dos for you.
That could all change, tomorrow too. And then,
and that's the beauty of it.
There's the evictions board, which has kind of been the same thing.
Tell us what's on that really quick.
The prototype for the Supernova.
Okay. And by the way, the evictions is your band.
That's been that's my band for 6 years now, almost 7 years.
Okay.
So the Supernova fuzz prototype, which is also the fuzz that's in the Daisho Earl Slick pedal.
Mm-hmm.
I have a weird version, early variant of the Northern Creeper, which
that's
is also
such
in
a
some
great pedal.
Yeah, and some I honestly don't know what it is, but I know it's some version of that from early on.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it's just bigger and gnarlier than the Creeper, and it worked. So I threw that on there, and then. What else do I have? I have the Hype. I think I still have the Hype on there for my boosts.
Mm-hmm.
and I either usually have an MXR micro flange or an MXR Phase 90. I used to have that Whirlwind Phase on there, but I started using the MXR Block Logo 90 because it has like a little more edge to it, like it cuts through better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's on there. There's another pedal. Oh, I have a early version of the drive-by. That's what I use for my distortion. My distortion, and then I'll stack that with the Northern Creeper for if I need feedback or like solo parts. Those two work together really well.
That's good to know.
And I think that I keep the drive-by in the low setting, and then I just pretty much crank both knobs almost all the way.
On the Creeper?
Yeah, because my tone's pretty cleanish with those trainers, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a couple songs that are just, well, like, you know, some kind of like dirty, not too much, you know, it's either like fuzz, just, you know, tearing your face off, or a little bit of distortion kind of thing. So I'll use like the hype for a little bit of grit, and then I'll stack it with the drive-by for everything else. I need more of something, so I step on something because it's so fast and
yeah,
just crazy, and half the time it's like, all right, as long as something is on, then I'll be okay.
I know we talked about it last time. Your trainers, are you still using the Bassmasters?
Yeah, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. I've got, I don't know, four or five of those. And dude, I never have to fix them. Those things have fallen. I've dropped them. They've fallen off the cab. You know, it's just, they're easy to work on. So
they're they are built like tanks. I mean, that's,
dude, it's, yeah.
I think we talked about the Pete Trainer would take an amp up to the roof of the factory and drop it off and plug it in, and every one of them played.
Wow.
Those are great. If it said Marshall on the front, they'd be $5,000.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's the same thing and they're easier to work on. Yep. So go figure. So yeah, I got like, you know, three of those that I kind of use for like stuff, and they're all kind of closely wired to some version of, you know, I mean, they're all modded out stuff, but nothing crazy, you know, just little tweaks and stuff. And then I put master volume, I did the Trainwreck master volume and all of them just so that I don't have to be completely deaf. And then I have an original one that's unmolested from 1969 that I found, and it still had the original British Mullard tubes in it that they shipped with. And I found that, and it was literally untouched, and I got it for $700.
That's today's market. That is a steal.
Just the tubes are like $500.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't believe it, but they shipped, because they're Canadian, they shipped with British Mullards in them up until a certain point. And then they went to, you know, whatever else people were using in the mid 70s. So if you can find the old ones pre flip top, little tip for you there. But those are a killer, man. And that thing, it's so just beautifully loud. It's like that glassy kind of Eddie Van Halen thing, you know, or like, it's like Pete Townsend-y kind of, you know, where it's just like you're getting feedback, but it's just clean.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just that loud, pure, glassy, loud ass head.
Yeah. It's like a cross between a Hi-Watt and a Marshall.
What model is
unreal.
This?
The Bassmaster?
It's the YBA one, but it's just before they went to the flip top in 70, 71.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
So there's like a couple years.
And even some of the smaller ones that use EL84s, the Guitar Mate, I think there's a Bass Mate, the Studio Mate.
Yeah, Bass Mate and Guitar Mate.
Those are really cool little, I mean, they're little 15-watt amplifiers that sound incredible, especially if you do a speaker upgrade.
Dude, it's all mustard caps and hand-wired and turret boards and, you know, or eyelet boards. It's like, you know, Hammond transformers. It's like, Jesus. I mean, you really couldn't upgrade them at all, you know.
Yep.
So
cool.
Yeah, that's been the thing. I mean, I kind of went on a combo amp bender most of the year because I just realized I didn't really have many. You know, I just had a couple. I was like, God, I need like a proper Fender, and I need something with reverb. And then I started finding these like little crate amps from the early 80s, got on one of those benders for a while.
They are the ones that look like actual crates?
Not that old, okay. But I got a, or no, sorry, PVs, man. I got a PV deck. I got a PV Decade for like $150.
Nice. Yep.
And then I got like a Backstage, what is it, Backstage Plus or Backstage Pro or whatever. Yeah. I got one of those for like $40. You know, I would find them cheap and be like, all right.
I still love the look of those old. Like I have the classic VTX, and I don't know. I love the way that thing looks. So many people hate the way they look. I think it's cool. Still,
those were the those old ones were the Skinner amps.
Yeah,
those classics were like Fender Twins, but you know, by PV. And then what, they shipped them with like EV speakers in them and stuff. I mean, those things are tanks, dude. Some of those are like, they're like super twins. They're like 180 watts or something. So yeah, they're cool. And you can find them for dirt cheap. It's just that you actually have to like carry it, you know?
Yeah.
and it's so loud, you know? Yeah. You're not playing arenas like Skinner was with it stacks of them. So not the most practical gear.
No. Indeed not. Hey, so, you know, you mentioned a little bit ago about you were checking out a Fender and you kind of get into that. And I was just curious, you know, before we get into the pedal offerings, for someone who is making pedals, I always imagine that you have to have like one of every kind of amp. Do you typically test all your pedals through like every amp, or how does that work?
Yeah, I try to, and with certain circuits too, it's like some of them are so sensitive to different things. And I've had that bite me in the ass too before where, you know, it's like I designed something through one of my trainers, which they're so great for pedals, you know, and I get it. I'm like, this is it. All right. Awesome. I'm going to build a prototype. And then I plug it into something else and it's like a whole different animal. And I have to like really just keep, you know, like I was finishing up something that I've been working on for a couple of weeks last week, and I just started like, you know, I just bounced from amp to amp around my shop and like, okay, I'm going to plug into this. I'm going to plug into this because there's just certain things and like different guitars and all that. And ideally, you know, you want this thing to sound amazing on every single amp and every single guitar and make it like dummy proof, right? Which is totally impossible. But you have to make sure that there's not something falling through the cracks to where, you know, you get an email from somebody like, hey, I rigged it up with this, you know, ridiculous setup I have and I'm having this problem or something. And you're like, all right, granted, I'm not making like super elaborate, you know, highly over engineered things with, you know, whatever DSP and, you know, stuff like that. But you know, it's like, I want to be confident that no matter who I give this to, they can be like, dude, it sounded great through my, you know, my Fender combo amp. This sounded great through my Marshall stack. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, I dropped off a pedal for Matt Pike, who's playing through three full stacks, a zillion watts. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. How, like, is this going to sound good on 10 through three full stacks? You know, like, I hope my noise floor is really good. And, you know, it's like stuff like that where like, what if there's just, you know, there's things in there that you really want to be sure that you kind of worked out all the cobwebs.
Now, let me ask you this. If you get through like, you know, 10 out of 12 amps and you're like, this sounds amazing. I've created the best pedal ever in history. This is amazing. What? And you hit that one amp where it's like, this does not sound right. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, it's like you just kind of have to meet in the middle as much as possible within stuff. And again, it's like you kind of reach a point in designing this stuff where you start hearing things that aren't real and splitting hairs. And you're so far into like the OCD realm that, you know, I've gotten good enough at it to where I catch myself and I'll be like, okay, we need to stop for today and come back. And then usually like the next day I'll plug it back in where I left off and be like, okay, well, this is totally fine. I'm hearing things, or I don't know what I was getting hung up on. You know, it's like, I get so overly nitpicky on things that it's, you know, to the 10th degree and I start making myself nuts. And then, you know, 99% of the other public that would ever play this is like, dude, it's no, it's perfect. Don't worry about it. I don't even know what you're hearing. But I mean, a good trait to have, a good problem to have, I guess, but mm-hmm. it's better than being on the other side of it and be like, yeah, it's good enough. You know, there's enough companies that do that.
What do you do yeah. to adjust that?
Right. Well, I mean, and that's kind of the trick. And it just depends on what the circuit is. You know, it's like some of those, like the Atomic Cock pedal sounds better with a little grit behind it if you're going straight into an amp, mm-hmm. you know? And that's not, you know, most people that use a pedal probably have another pedal or that someone already has a drive or a fuzz on their board already. So, you know, it's like you just try and problem solve in advance, but then it's like, all right, well, if that's an issue and you're not getting the full effect of this, we make the Cocked and Fearless pedal. Now you have a gain circuit built in and you Ta-da. Can, you know, whatever. So, I mean, yeah. there's always stuff like that, but it's like you do reach a point where you have to just kind of realize that you're not going to win all your battles.
I suppose that'd be pretty great for a bass, actually thinking about it now, looking at the Cocked and Fearless.
Yeah, and, you know, that works. And I tried to make an Atomic Cock a long time ago for a bass player, and I had a hell of a time because it just, without that kind of breakup to it with a bass, those frequencies, you just kind of lost a lot of the effect.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, when you stack it like the Cocked and Fearless and stuff, you get, makes a little easier when it's kind of compressed and breaking up a little. Yeah. So.
Well, Johnny, we have you on the show specifically. I mean, as soon as I saw that you're like, hey, I'm going to release something, I've like waited, and you posted and I'm like, all right, get on the show.
Yeah. So, yeah. What? Let's dig into the Aces.
Let's do it. So the Aces, tell us what's the genesis behind creating this?
So, I mean, I guess we can go back to probably like over a year ago. I kind of had an idea. I was like, what if I just did like a batch of like, you know, three or four different pedals that were just acting as like, kind of like preamp pedals, right? Like just different variations of gain that you could use to just kind of color your tone in a way that people would normally get from something else, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just sketched down some ideas that I could think of. And one of them was, you know, like the Marshall mini belt loop amp, right? Mm-hmm. Which people record with those and all that. And that became the British Black Belt that I came out with last year. Mm-hmm. And another one was like, okay, what if I did like an old school germanium kind of, you know, I have a couple of things that I found. It's a long story, but I ended up with just boxes and boxes of stuff I found in this hoarder's basement, and it was all electronics from the 50s and 60s.
Nice.
You know, wow. Like thousands of tubes and resistors and just all, I mean, you name it, man. The stuff had been sitting there for 60 years.
Wow.
There's a lot of like these old little like germanium radio kits and all these little boxes of like things like 1 watt amplifier things and stuff, just all that kind of electronic crap from the 50s and 60s, you know? And I was like, man, what if I took one of these kind of like really old school germanium kind of one or two stage gains as like a preamp, like they would use for these other things like radio amplifier stuff that people don't even use anymore. Right.
Right.
And so that was kind of on the list and a couple other things. And, you know, fast forward a year and then it came time to do something else. And once again, people, you know, like there's definitely a trend where people are putting out pedals, especially right now, where it's like you have like the six knob layout or the, you know, and then a bunch of little toggles and dip switches. And that seems to be like the new thing that a lot of people are trying to jump onto, right? Mm-hmm. These like, this pedal can do every type of delay you could ever imagine.
Right.
And you could spend weeks learning how to use it. Right. And that stuff, whatever, it's fine. And that just makes me really want to go old school. And so I believe it or not, in the last 6 months, I've designed three pedals that are all just one knob pedals. So
wow,
that just kind of shows you where I'm at currently. But the Aces was kind of my approach to doing an old school germanium thing. But then I started getting further along with it and I was doing like two germaniums and I was like, you know, I've always been like, I dig it, but it always seems like it's just lacking a little bit of, you know, a little bit of punch, a little bit of bite. So I'm like, why don't we just like a hybrid thing and see where that takes it, you know? And that tended to, I mean, that ended up being kind of what I was looking for. So, a little more stability, and it just gave me the extra kind of punch. So that was it. I just wanted something simple. Punch. Yeah. And,
and sizzle.
It started out and it was more, or it was less gainy than it is now. I was like, what if it was just like a really, I mean, it was kind of like a cork sniffy thing, but I was like, what if it was just really like a tonal kind of layer, and it just added some, like, and I started to go down that path of like all these descriptive terms and earthy and all this crap. And I was like, all right, you're starting to sound like, you know, some kind of like blues dad dude, you know, like, all right. This definitely needs to be like an ass kicking rock pedal, in addition to all the cool vintage terminology you can throw on top of it, and germanium and old, new old stock and all that. So,
yeah, it's got the special AK transistors in it.
It's yeah,
the
it's
transistors.
right. And you know, I like when things are just simple and you just do it well and make it easy for people to get what, you know, your vision is out of the product. You know, it's like, it's a no brainer. Okay. This makes it louder. It's, you get it. You can tell by the artwork that it's kind of like a vintage inspired thing. I mean, that's all intentional, you know? And that's just it. It's like, I played it on a super clean Fender and it sounded cool. I played it through a Marshall, sounded cool. I played it with a Tele. I played it with a Les Paul. You know, I just wanted it to be like a good dirt pedal for whatever application you have.
Yeah.
And you just be really saturated, but not turn into like a mushy, muddy thing, which is what a lot of like germanium gain circuits kind of do. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, you try playing your neck pickup and it's just mud.
Mm-hmm.
So it took, I believe, or as simple as it is, it took me an insanely long time of tweaking and tweaking and tweaking this thing to get it to where it performed, you know, well across the board with all the things I wanted to do. So,
well, I believe that because you're not reliant on all the other parameters that you would typically use to compensate for any shortcomings or tonal discrepancies between amps and yada yada. You know, it's a knob.
Yeah, and if that's the thing, man, if people put a lot of knobs and stuff and the pedal sounds bad, it's like, well, then it's the operator error because you didn't dial it in the right way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no, like this is where it needs to be. I'm taking out all the guesswork, you know.
This is a fixed blade knife.
Yeah.
It seems useful to me in a live situation.
Heck yeah.
I just, right. It's warm and it's real saturated and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Billy Gibbons or ZZ Top, right? Not necessarily in tone, but like when you see him playing, it's like, he's not banging the crap out of it, but yet all these harmonics and tone and all this stuff is coming out of there because it's like kind of the beauty of it's like in the subtleties a little bit. So yeah, if you just mash it and turn it up all the way and you're banging out power chords or something, yeah, it's going to sound like gain and it's going to sound like, you know, distortion pedal or whatever. But also if you want to really dive into it and play, I don't know if carefully is the right word, but you know, if you really want to get the essence of things out of it that are a little more dynamic and harmonic. And like I was saying, like some of the kind of cork sniffy terms, like that is all kind of carefully dialed into the circuit so that's in there, you know, some dude like Joe Bonamassa could play this and think, wow, this really does have a lot of like really rich characteristics to it. And it sounds like a natural kind of vintagey thing. And I just didn't, it would put it this way. It'd be really easy to make this pedal and to just knock it out and just make it some gainy thing and have it not be that impressive.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's like, okay, whatever. It's like making a fuzz face clone or something. Right. It's really easy to make it suck. It takes a lot of work to really fine tune it and make it like, wow, that's a great, you know, whatever. Anybody that's built like a fuzz face or something like that will tell you it's easy to make a crappy one. And it takes, you really got to know what you're doing to make it sound like the ones where people go, whoa, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but
no,
that's
toot it. You got the horn.
You know, that's. I mean, you just kind of asked like what the yeah. genesis of that was.
Well, it'd be really and easy to dismiss a one knob pedal. I mean, that's it's the most easy thing to say. Oh, it can't be. I mean, what? It's just one knob. What's it going to do,
dude? Exactly.
The fact that you're dialing it in, and this is something that that Tony and I both talked about. I found when I started, like I played it and put it in, I was like, whoa. And then I started changing my amp settings, and that really affected what I was hearing. So then I changed the play between your amp and the cleanliness, or, you know, however much push you're putting on that amp and what you're dialing into really have a huge effect. So you can find several sweet spots that can make you really kind of say, wow, that's, I want to just stay here for a couple minutes and not stop playing.
Yeah, that's, and you know what, in a weird way, that's always kind of been like the test for me to know if like a circuit's done. Like if I like, okay, let's see where we're at here, and I play it, and then a half hour goes by and I'm still just having a blast playing this thing. I'm like, well, you know what? That's gotta be it then. Cause this is, I'm not even thinking about it now. I'm just having fun playing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the deal. Like I got to it and I started like trying in different stuff, and you know, I'd spent an hour just enjoying this pedal. I'm like, well, that's gotta be kind of the testament right there, because it's doing what I hoped it would do. And now I'm, you know, playing like Stone stuff with a Tele and it sounds cool, or I'm using it as a solo boost with a Marshall or whatever. It was just like kind of whatever I did with it, it kind of had the desired effect. So,
I mean, what I had like two positions that I really liked were like at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock, and adjusting the amp accordingly to get kind of, you know, I don't know that you can actually get unity gain out of this one. This one's pretty ferocious right out of the gate. But I think if, you know, like at the 10 o'clock position, it's a little bit tamer, and you can, you know, like I was running it through a Vox AC15 and,
hand wired.
No,
in Fawn.
Yes, in Fawn. It's very fawnish. And that amp actually takes pedals pretty well. I mean, surprisingly. I know some British amps don't like pedals, but then, you know, when I wanted to get a little bit more out of it, moving it to like 2 o'clock and then turning the amp down a little, yeah, I was able to get, I think, a pretty decent range of tones and things out of it.
Well, you bring up a good point, Tony, because when I actually plugged it in, I couldn't wait. And I'd already, my family had gone to bed, and I'm like, I don't want to wait till tomorrow to play this thing. Like, so I've got a Marshall Origin 50, and I had it on the mid setting, the mid game, the mid level. And I turned that even down a little bit, and I put this in, and immediately I was like, this is not blasting the room out, but it sounds like I have a wall of amps cranked. And that just was, it was awesome, because that's hard to achieve when your amp is lower. Mm-hmm. And that's, then the next morning I woke up and took care of business with the, you know, the amp. But, you know, I think something about this particular pedal, I'd be willing to bet that if you said, hey, I'm releasing a new amp, right? And you had any amp of your name, put any amp of your choice underneath like a black velvet cloth and had that plugged in and let him just go. They'd be like, I want to buy this amp. This amp is, I can't believe how good this amp sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's, you go, and it's a pedal and an amp.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a great candidate for being like a leave on pedal, you know? Mm-hmm. Cause your volume knob works wonders with it, and you can just, you know, you can dial it in, like you said, according to your amp and your rig, and then just leave it. It's like, that's it. Yeah. Okay, we're going. I mean, and that's how I kind of play pedals anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, here's my amp is kind of my clean platform. It's loud. That's that. And then I always have a fuzz on pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then I dial the amp according to how the fuzz is sounding. So I'm kind of dialing around the effect that I have on 90% of the time.
Right.
You know, and that's this, you could easily do that with this, and it's like, well, there it is. Okay, cool. you know.
Yeah, I liked how it had a little sizzle to it. You know, I immediately started playing Spirit in the Sky by T-Rex. You know, I immediately started playing that.
It sounds pushed. It sounds like an amp that's just totally, you know, pushed into a really good kind of over the top gain. You know, it's got kind of like a recklessness to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just like compressed gain. It's like, no, it sounds like something is like really open and loose, like when you push a tube head. Yeah. You know?
That's exactly how I described it when I handed it to Tony. He's like, what does this do? I said, it doesn't sound like a really tight distortion. It sounds open and it sounds like it's got another like ring of sound around it.
Yeah. It's kind of loose and it's got a lot of depth to it and like dimension and harmonics and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of pedals lose, because they get so properly refined and compressed and all this stuff. And then it's like, no matter how loud you get it or what you do, it's kind of like a flat image of something, right?
Yeah.
The other song I started playing on was Telstar. You know, that one with the very old 60s synthesizer sound, like...
Oh, you're like on the neck, position.
It didn't really matter which position. It was just
Telstar. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
It was kind, of a surfy song, like 1967, something like that.
Right, you know? Well, that's a Ventures.
It was a Vietnam. Album. Yeah, it was a Vietnam era song. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, one of the things that Billy was all gassed on was Tesla.
I love this cover plate. It's got the Tesla tower on it.
I copped the RKO stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you look up Tesla, you know, Nikola Tesla,
right.
His tower had that exact structure.
Right. It had the ball. It had the lightning shooting out. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
it was the ultimate transmission tower for all kinds of things.
It's a freaking great looking. I mean, it's so rock and roll. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's saying something, because I think you actually have one of the best graphics games on your pedals. I mean, they look like they're gonna sound. And
Thanks, man.
I think you've done such a killer job with
that. Why did you call it Aces?
It just was in my head. And, you know, originally I was like, man, maybe I should save this, because I had this other kind of, I mean, everything's just like loose concepts floating around in my head. But I was like, well, maybe I should save that name for something that's more like ass kicking, like Motorhead, high gain kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure if I wanted that name for this, but then I was like, nah, you know what? It works. It doesn't make sense, but it's like being in a band. Like, does everything have to really make sense with song titles?
It does, though, because if you plug it in, you hit that tone. It's like boom, my tone is Aces.
Man. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's how I took it.
It kind of sounds like an old lingo or something from the 50s, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, and
Aces, baby. You know,
man, that pedal sounds Aces. Man.
Well, I still say that. I say that. I use Aces all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know, I don't like, I write all the songs. I write all the songs for our band. I write all the lyrics, you know, and it's like, I don't want anything to be completely laid out and explained to people.
Yeah.
Like, I called it this because it's the name of my dog or whatever stupid, you know, thing. It's like, leave it open interpretation. It doesn't have to have a reason.
There you go.
Why'd you get their band name? Where'd you get that? It's like, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's art. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's called this.
Cool.
It sounds cool. Is that good enough for you guys?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the first thing one of my guys that I work with, it's like, well, what's the meaning behind it? Like, there's no meaning. All right. It sounds cool. The pedal sounds cool. It looks cool. Okay. Is that good? Is that cool for you? Right. That's it. It doesn't have to have this meaning to it. I don't need to explain to people what this does. And, you know, also like with that, I'm like a really massive Rocky Horror Picture fan too, you know? And they have that whole scene at the end in the pool where it's like the big RKO thing, and he's climbing the curtain and all that, you know? So that always was kind of like etched into my brain for, you know, from a long time ago. So, Nice. I don't know. It's just like you get an idea and you're like, well, that'll work. Okay, cool. Let's move on to the next thing.
You know,
sometimes you get ideas that just end up being stupid and suck, and then you move on. You know, it's like writing a song. You write 10 songs, you'll probably have like two or three good songs. So that's it, you know. And like I said, there's some cool stuff coming out. Can't really talk about it because it's a whole different thing than normal Daredevil stuff, but it's definitely the coolest stuff I've ever done, and it's the most exciting thing I've probably ever done. But you're just gonna have to wait because everything takes a long time right now. But you know, all in good time, and you guys are gonna eventually just be like, holy shit, you gotta be kidding me. It's like that kind of level of, I'm still kind of in disbelief as to how crazy some of this is right now. But I know that sounds like a lot of fluff, and you know, maybe I'm just creating hyperbole here, but this is it's been a pretty wild like COVID era, and the last couple of years especially, there's just been a lot of cool things that have fallen into my lap that I've been working on. So once that is unleashed on the world, then we could talk about all day long. You know, I'll have to come back next year around springtime.
Perfect.
And then you can be like, hey, remember that thing that you couldn't tell us about? Well, now it's out, and holy crap. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
Deal.
I love it. I love it. Well, Johnny, we'll leave it there on the table, and Tony literally put the pedal down.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are probably like, what the hell is this guy talking about? You know, he's bragging about himself and
making a show about
false,
you. It's okay.
false promises, and oh, I'm supposed to believe some big fancy things happening. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's going to call me out on it, but
no, I think you've got the pedigree to back it up, man.
Well, I'm excited about
the pedigree.
Yay. Dude, I'm excited about everything that we talk about. I love gear and I love guitars and pedals and amps and stuff. And that's, you know, the reason that I work 80 million hours a week is because I think the stuff's cool and I love it. And, you know, if that comes across that I make good pedals, then cool. That's just a sign that I care. That just shows proof in the pudding about how obsessed I am with gear and tone and amps and rock and roll music. So there's no kind of like ego involved. It's just a work of passion. So.
Yeah.
What other pedals that you make go really well with the Asus?
Great question.
What's a good combination there?
Well, obviously, you know, the Cocktail kind of stacks great with anything that's gainy. And you know, like the delay, obviously, but, man, I mean, what else have I stuffed this thing with? You know, that's the thing. It's like, there's so much kind of packed into it that stacking it with other gains, you know, unless it was like a lighter gain or an overdrive or something to get a little more boost out of it for a solo or something, you know, it's like, you kind of don't need to run it with anything.
I was
just standalone.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Well, Billy, congratulations on the sorry, not me, Billy. I'm looking at Billy. Sorry, Johnny.
I know you love
me. Johnny, congratulations on this mighty fine pedal release. Another great one in the corral that you have of just fantastic drive pedals.
Thanks. You know, I appreciate that, and you know, I just kind of look for gaps in the line and be like, you know, what could I use that I don't really have yet? You know, I don't want to just keep like, I'm going to make another fuzz. And, you know, I want like, all right, this is this thing. Now I'm going to go way over here and try to do something here, you know? So I think that this kind of touched on a little idea that I just kind of had in my head for a long time. And I'm glad that it's finally out, and hopefully people do really cool stuff with it. And, you know,
I can't wait to try it out live.
Yeah, I hopefully people dig it like I dig it, and it just kind of keeps going and runs the course out there, and I can leave it out for a long time. So
sounds good. Sounds good. Well, in the meantime, we're gonna hop in our El Camino over here and take a ride down a very special segment called...
Hey, would you rather?
That's in another interpretation of the Would You Rather song. Jared's not here to do it. Sorry, Jared, you missed a great show.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Anyways.
Would you rather?
Thanks, Billy. You filled in for him. Yes. All right. What do we got here, Tony?
So,
By the way, this is specifically, I heard that the maker of this particular Would You Rather had Johnny in mind here.
So. Ah, right, I see.
All right.
So, like our brother Jared, you get a job at Gibson. Jared has a very posh job, I am told.
Oh.
But you get the job of director of janitorial services.
Uh-oh.
So after emptying 100 or so waste baskets, you
get a broom that has a PAF sticker on it. Though, so.
Yeah, they did apply really for the expensive. Patent for that.
That's a very valuable broom.
Wait till the patent brooms come out.
Yeah.
You head out to the dumpster and you see two guitars buried under a pile of sawdust.
What?
Yes.
Does this actually happen?
No.
Well, it could.
In Would You Rather Land, it does.
In Would You Rather Land.
So the first one is Tool guitarist Adam Jones, custom vintage reverse. That's silver.
It's not a reverse,
but it's a reverse finish, silver to black. So silver around the outside edge, going into black in the middle. Flying V.
Yeah, really interesting looking. One of only three made.
Yes.
So
This was the fourth one. They just, you know.
They're like, if we put four out there, the three aren't going to be that valuable. So let's just throw it in the dump.
Just toss it. The other is a Rick Beato signature Les Paul Special Double Cut in Pelham Blue.
Yes, his new signature model.
Yes.
And that's just out there. There must have been like a B-stock finish or something, maybe?
It's possible.
Possible.
Both seem to be in perfect working condition, but you only have time to grab one and throw it in your trunk before the security camera kicks in.
Yeah, it's sweeping constantly for people just like you.
That's right.
So...
Would you rather?
Let's see here. Tony, we're going to start off with you, and then we're going to check in with, we're going to go to Billy, and then go to Johnny, and then go to me. And by the way, like I said, Johnny, I heard that the person who came up with this, like myself, I love double cuts. I love and I love Vs, and I know that you've got a fondness for that stuff as well. So... All right, Tony.
Well, if it were up to me, as much as I love Pelham Blue finishes, I'm going to have to go with the reverse finish, Flying V.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in a Flying V phase these days.
You have?
I don't know what it is.
Is that because of mine?
No.
Say it's because of mine.
No, okay, has nothing right. to do with yours.
All right.
But that's what I think so. I mean, double cuts are great, especially specials.
Sure.
This one I think is pretty cool. And this one have dot inlays?
Dot inlays. Dots. It's a bound neck with P90s.
Yeah, a couple of P90s.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Solid guitar, man.
But, I mean, there's just something about a V.
I get you.
I'm going that way.
All right, Billy?
I'm going to go with a Pelham Blue double cut.
Interesting.
And the reason is P90s.
Yeah.
I love P90s.
Yeah.
They rip roar, you know. The color is beautiful. And it's got the stop tailpiece, which I can simply swap out with a Duesenberg Tremolo. And yeah, I've got my dream guitar.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's very clever of you. Johnny, what are you doing?
Going V.
There you go.
Because I don't have a V, and I've already got a bunch of double cuts, and I don't know. Not a fan of that blue.
Okay. All right.
I don't even what's the official color on that thing? It's not even a Pelham, is it? It's something.
It looks brighter than typically Pelham is.
Didn't they call it like Rick Beato Blue or something?
No, it's Pelham Blue.
Is it? Oh. That's what it says?
Well, I thought he had like his Les Paul and his Pelham Blue Les Paul standard. So
Chris Pelham blue when the coating, you know, yellows,
then Pelham
blue
green.
Looks really kind of cool.
Oh, it's called like TV blue. Yeah, well, and technically they're calling it TV blue mist.
Huh.
That's a good name. It's a good name.
I want one for my birthday next
week.
There
you go. Let's see here. I'm going to go with the V.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the V because it's a really unique paint scheme.
Yes.
And I love the V that I just got. So why not? And I already have that guitar, except it's not in the TV Mist Blue. It's black.
Yeah.
And I'm good there. So I don't need two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I'll go with the reverse silver burst. That's an odd combo.
How about you, Jared?
Jared? Yeah. Anyways,
I think he already committed. I think he already committed to the V.
Yeah. So
he's out looking in the dumpster. He thought that was a real story.
He's getting the other one.
I said there's guitars out here.
This guy said there's a guitar on the dumpster. I gotta go look.
Well, you three can fight over that V. Meanwhile, I'll be walking off with that nice little double cut.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, well.
He wants that PAF mop you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's worth money on reverb.
So, anyways, thanks to whoever came up with that for that delightful
genius. Just genius.
Would you rather? Tony, we got a few people to thank, and then we're going to let our friend Johnny go.
That's right, because at this point of the show, there's a special group of people that we love to thank. These are our executive producers, and executive producers make this show possible. How do you become an executive producer? Go over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Check out a couple levels at which you can participate. Become a sponsor, a patron of this very podcast. Each level comes with some very, 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 very nice thank you gifts. But there's one thing more as an executive producer. What's that, Jared?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
That's right, your name read on the thing. And that's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks to these executive producers. Moon Guitars, Vaderin Pedals, John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Mike D, Richard Kendall, Mark Garten, Matt Hart, James White, Justin Jones, Anthony Gemalero, Bill Gola Guitars, John Esterly, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lamb, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Doug Christ, Darren Gregory, Tom Barazin, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, Brett Hogarth, Eric Hemmer, Stuart George, Michael Furman, and Andrew DeHaan.
Right on.
Thank you so very much. Wait, Todd.
Oh, sorry.
There's another group of executive producers. We call them our Grand Poobas.
Too true.
These are our creme de la creme, the top of the heap. The nicest of the nice. In addition to all the great stuff, they get their name right on the thing, and they get a fez to wear upon their head.
They do.
Whilst listening to the podcast.
And lots of other goodies.
And lots of other really cool things. So special, special, special thanks to these Grand Poobas. Tommy Manasco, Ricardo Igareda, David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Matos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett, Tyler Rines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Adam Johnson, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Zone, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jeruzic, Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean S. Eddie Serratos, David Poe, and the one and only Billy Spitfire.
There you go. Thank you all for supporting our show. It means the world to us. We love that you give a crap, honestly. It makes our days and nights. Johnny, where can people go to get your stuff?
Very many places, predominantly daredevilpedals.com, but you can go to Zounds Music, American Musical Supply, Guitar Center, and many, many, many independent dealers. They're available in Europe. I don't know how far this show goes, but
it's worldwide.
There's a lot of places. Yeah. So there are distribution in Europe, Australia, UK. All those places are listed on the website. So just go to the page that says dealers and find the one closest to you.
Right on.
Or you can order online. You can order on your phone right now.
Do it all. And you know what? If you're considering getting one of these or one of the other pedals that he's out for a long time, get it from him. Man, Reverb's got a lot of great stuff, but you know what? Support the builders, everybody. Do what you can.
And here's the thing. You might be saying, hey, that was cool, but I am a drummer. I don't play guitar pedals. You know what? We have these Daredevil shirts that have been out for like 10 years, and people love those, and you can get one shipped for $20.
Perfect.
Nice.
So, and like, what a rad thing to get for your significant other as a gift, right? Yeah. Like, maybe you don't know anything about pedals, you know, but you're dating this person. They're like, well, I don't know about pedals. Maybe I'll just get them like something kind of cool that's less expensive.
Better than flowers.
Yeah, you get a cool shirt. And he's like, oh, that's sweet. Maybe I'll check out these pedals. I'll buy my own. But till then, you know, you can go to the website and get a couple of tees while it's still t-shirt weather, right?
There you go. He's good.
But wait, if you order now.
Tony, where can people connect?
ShamWow.
Head over to pickguardian.com. Check out some of the things that I have available online. But by and large, what I do is custom pickguard work. So shoot me an email. Let me know what you need, what you're trying to do, what you're looking for. And I will probably be able to give you some good advice and help you out post haste.
Indeed. Billy?
Awesome.
I'm available on Instagram, Billy Spitfire, as well as Facebook, Billy Spitfire, and Facebook, Billy Spitfire Unlimited.
All right.
Also, you can look at my band, Mathematics, and also the Bastard Sons of Neptune.
There you go. You can send me an email, todd@theguitarknobs.com. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram, @guitarknobs. And I encourage you to go listen to The Villantinos.
Who?
On The Villantinos, anywhere that you can stream your rock and roll music. That's my band, and I would love for you to give us a listen. All right. And go listen to, go check out The Evictions, you know, Johnny's band. Don't forget about that.
There you go. Don't forget about that.
Johnny, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you having here, and thank you for making such awesome gear for us.
Dude, thank you guys for having me. It's always fun. I love talking about anything related to guitars and amps and pedals and all that. So appreciate it.
Right
and,
on.
And let's keep in touch, and that's it. Let's finish this week up, all right?
Yeah. Word. Right, all right, everybody, have a fantastic guitar weekend. Subscribe!
Oh, yes.
And you messed around with the bam and the B and the high and the low?
Yeah.
Weird that he had.
Greco. I don't even know where that came from. Okay, anyway. And then in the co-host seat, we have a newer
edition. I'm just serving TV dinners to the crew.
Yeah, this is Billy Spitfire. That would be an amazing taco stand name, Blasters.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yes.
Look out below.
There you go. Like a volcano logo. Yeah.
Do you want the chicken or the fish?
Chuck one up for the... Yo.
Hello. That was
that worked okay
bang
for me.
Thank you, Mang. Away we go.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram, @guitarknobs. Catch you next time.